The following radio program was made possible by partners of Sought Out Global Ministries.
You have things going on in your life that are warring against your relationship with the Lord Jesus, and you know it, and it's wearing you down. Depression is around the corner for many in the fact that they don't seem to be able to lift out of a habitual cycle that is sinful in its nature. And we have good news for you today. We really do. Because when you think about the results of going astray and falling into sin, and what Jesus did on the cross, and the violence of his pursuit and love for us, and the incredible intensity of his love for us, he's not going to give us something that is less powerful than the sinful nature. He's going to give us the answer of what it is to pull out of the things that would otherwise pull down people without Christ. Not that one person is better than the other. It's just that Jesus truly is the answer.
Have you ever been in a place during your life where all kinds of bad things are happening to you and you didn't know what to do about it? Is it the enemy, and are you finding yourself under spiritual attack, or is it God trying to make you stronger? Knowing for sure is usually the trick. Coming up on Sought Out Radio, we'll discuss what it's like to walk by the Spirit. What is life in the Spirit like, and how do you know what's warfare and what's God? Find out as we discuss life in the Spirit. That's coming up next on Sought Out Radio. And we welcome you to Sought Out Radio. I'm your host, Mark Grote, and joining me on today's show is Teresa Grote, my wife, and Sought Out Ministry leaders, Herb and Bethany Marks. Welcome you all.
It's good to be here.
Yes, it's really good to have you with us, listeners as well, and we want to invite you into a great conversation that we've been prepping for, what, an hour, Bethany, over this table as we've been talking about what do we want to do. And today's topic today, I think, is a good one. We want to have a little time with you as we talk about life in the Spirit. But I think we have a perspective today that will help you and help guide you in your approach to really what, not only what that means, but how we should go about that and walk that out in our life. And what maybe I think the perspective of some of the people in the church today have that is maybe as we would, you know, in the most encapsulated way I could put it, or maybe looking at it in the opposite way than the way we were talking about it just in this last hour. So with that, Galatians 5, we talks about life in the Spirit. Herb brought that topic to us this morning. And Herb, why don't you just share your quick thoughts at the top of what Galatians 5 really speaks about and the particular passage in that chapter that you wanted to bring to the listeners.
It's verse 16 through 26. And so I say, live by the Spirit, and you'll not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Mm-hmm. And it goes on to say how the sinful nature wars against the Spirit, and of course the Spirit against the sin nature. And you can't have both. And I know we have a lot of folks today who are even listening to our program, and some of you have hidden sin. You have things going on in your life that are warring against your relationship with the Lord Jesus, and you know it, and it's wearing you down. Depression is around the corner for many in the fact that they don't seem to be able to lift out of a habitual cycle that is sinful in its nature. And we have good news for you today. We really do. Because when you think about the results of going astray and falling into sin, and what Jesus did on the cross, and the violence of his pursuit and love for us, and the incredible intensity of his love for us, he's not going to give us something that is less powerful than the sinful nature. He's going to give us the answer of what it is to pull out of the things that would otherwise pull down people without Christ. Not that one person is better than the other. It's just that Jesus truly is the answer. And so when we look at some of the acts of the sinful nature, are we know those, you know, sexual immorality, impurity, idolatry, hatred. It goes on. We could read those in a moment, but the fruit of the Spirit is the opposite. Love, joy, peace. These are things that money can't buy. And when you think about one of the statements that has just stayed with me all throughout my life, he is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. And again, that's the intensity of God's heart towards us in sending his son, because he so loved us, the world, that he gave his only begotten son. So know that he has the answer against anything that anybody is experiencing who's hearing this radio program today. And I'm anxious to get into it.
Well, and when we were, you know, just asking God and prepping for the show, I felt like he gave me some scriptures in Romans 8. And as I was just looking while Herb was talking, it says, those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. And, you know, that's clear. We can't please God if we're controlled by the sinful nature. But what I love is the message of hope that, for one thing, where sin abounds, grace abounds. God totally has an answer for everything that we encounter. And I'm so grateful for that. Mm. And some of the solution is just to get our eyes off ourselves and to really throw ourselves at the feet of Jesus and just say, hey, you have the answer and I need it. And with a heart connection, turn to him.
Yes.
And it's, you know, because it also says that those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. It's our heritage. It's our inheritance. That's it's our really DNA. True. It's who we are to be led by the Spirit. And it's something we really need to get a handle on, that we really can't settle for less than being led by the Spirit and not being controlled by our sinful nature.
Mm. You know, what I really liked about that scripture as you shared it before we started recording today was it showed me a picture of like we're traveling in a car and every time we sin, we're hitting the gas. And we think we're drawing away from God. Sin is separation from God. That's what the Bible tells us. And probably from our own perspective, we're pressing the gas pedal a little bit harder for certain things that happen in our life. But where sin abounds, and as I go to try to run away from God, as I try to leave him, he's pursuing me all the more, and he's overtaking me with his grace. So he has always more gas. He always has more power in his engine to overtake the sin that tries to move away from God, and he catches up to me. And he always, so it doesn't matter how big the sin, it doesn't matter what people are doing, it doesn't know how much inside we think we have stepped up our passion to go away from God, he goes that much harder after that person.
You know, what's incredible is that God gives us the choice if we want him or not. But he knows our hearts better than we know ourselves. And some of our perspective of God, I think, takes us down a road that can be really misunderstood, because I want to use the word the fierceness of his love for us. And when we think about the fierceness of God, then all of a sudden we realize he's not passive. He's so crazy, loves us. And it's all right to use this kind of terminology, so let's say it again, crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. It goes beyond our ability to wrap our minds around how God so loves us. And so to use the word fierceness of his love for us leads us to be reminded of the fact that he's not passive and he's not casual in his pursuit of us. He's done everything that is necessary for the heart that genuinely wants his rescue to be just that, rescued. I remember one time when I fell off of a sailboat and all of a sudden I was underwater looking up at the waves and the sun piercing the waves. And I was kicking and swimming for all I was worth to get back to the surface because I was running out of air. And when I finally broke surface, there was also a life ring right there that I grabbed a hold of. And I was sailing a boat really hard and having just a blast, but I didn't have on a life jacket. And so with the clothing I had on, it was pulling me down, and it took every ounce of energy to break the surface. And I'm thinking there are people that are feeling that way today, that they're being so weighted down by their sin. Mm-hmm. They're not sure they can get to the surface. And I'm here to tell you that there is a hand that is reaching below the water surface, deep to where you are. If you would just take it, he will pull you to the surface and he will keep you afloat. He is amazing in this way. He's far more powerful than any sin that you're in. Hear that. He's far more powerful than any sin that would want to pull you down if you want him.
Can I just want to piggyback on that a little bit, because that kind of gets to our state of mind in terms of our view of God and also our view of ourselves. And, you know, one of the things that I felt like God was showing me is that we tend to be glass half empty type of people instead of the glasses half full. And I think God wants to refocus us on what is good that is in our lives, and to build that as a foundation and a pillar that he can stack on. He cannot build a foundation on sand, and trying to do it through our perfection and our performance is never going to work, because we're never going to be good enough that we can reach the perfection of God in our own mind. But when we start to take what God has given to us that is good, and we build a foundation upon that, like fertilizing the grass around the weed that's in the lawn that is then choked out by really good, fertile activity, the organic happenings around the weed in our life, then I think we can begin to grow. And I think for me, the life in the Spirit is a condition when I'm good with God, when I'm spending time with God, when I'm praying and I'm waiting on his voice and I'm patient and I'm making time for him in my everyday life. And how many times does a week go by in our lives and we haven't had any meaningful time with God? That happens every day to every one of us. But if we're struggling with things in our life, we should stop and take and make an evaluation. Is that happening because we're not spending time with God? Is the desire of the flesh coming up? My lack of self-control, my eye being drawn to the things that I know it shouldn't be drawn to, is this a reflection of the fact that I'm not spending time with God? Well, we don't know that definitely. We don't know it absolutely. But if the answer to the question is, no, I'm really not spending time with God, that, to the listener out there, is a great place to start. So at least begin to start to think about how much time we're spending with the Lord. And then from there, that will allow him to build upon things that are in your life that God has sown that are good.
Well, what came to mind for me, I was thinking about what kept me at arm's length from God in my life. It's been a little while, but it was shame. And because I tend to be such a black and white person, I just felt the shame of where I was at. And I didn't feel like I could do, and you know, because we tend to be performance based, shame is what kept me from reaching out to God. And I literally told God that he would have to get me back because I didn't have it in me to go back to him. And he did. Mm. But I did leave the door. You know, I wasn't against him in any way. It wasn't about being against him. It was about how I felt about myself, which is what reminded me of it when you were talking, Mark, of, you know, how we view ourselves. I mean, the enemy can definitely use that and cause us to put God at arm's length.
Teresa, when you said you didn't have it in you to go to him, he came to you. God
yes.
pursued you. But you asked him to do it.
I did.
Yeah.
Yes.
That is such the character of a loving father to a daughter, isn't it?
Yes.
Do you mind if I ask how he got you?
It was slow. It was a slow process of just coming back. Like, there was nothing religious about it whatsoever.
Well, there's not a lot of religious about you either.
And I'm glad for that. Yeah. It was kind of like a fire that was really, really barely burning. Like, I think it's in Isaiah where it says, a smoldering wick he will not put out,
yes.
Which I love that.
Yes.
It was like it was there, but it was really, really small. And it's like little by little, he kept putting wood on that. And today, see, that was a good 20 years ago. Probably more. But today, the fire is brighter than it ever has been. And it's a testimony to saying, God, if you're there, if you're really there, I'm going to let you do what you do, because it really is you that does it. And it's that's the heart thing, is just letting him do what he does and not being afraid.
See, I think that's really good. To me, that is really getting at the heart of what is our view of God. And if God is angry, or if he's a judgmental God, or if our view of God is very black and white and harsh terms, right? That he's kind of just waiting to whack us with a stick, versus we see him as a loving father that's encouraging us, that's trying to help us. How many of us, as the Bible says, you know, would give our son a stone if he asks for a loaf of bread? And if we are being, you know, evil in air quotes, as I think the way the scripture refers to us is, if we are that way, then how much more is God as a father towards us, loving, encouraging, helping, nurturing. He wants the best for us. He's cheering us on. He's our best cheerleader. And we've turned him into an angry, mad God because you're not perfect. Well, I got news for you, everybody, around this table and on the air. None of us is perfect. None of us can do it. If we were perfect, then we'd be living under the law. Well, the law was abolished. We needed Jesus to deliver us from it. Throw yourselves on him, and you will be perfect in the sight of God.
In fact, Paul says to walk free in the Spirit.
Free.
Free, not under legalism or law.
Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom.
Yes. So read Galatians. You know, all of us around the table have teenagers. And I just have this really clear picture of many of us in the audience have teenagers, and how it just, my husband, when my son comes and gives him a hug, when my son wants to hang out with him, you know, there's been times he's gone with you to things that you, where you were speaking just to be with you. And the contrast of, say, a teenager who's shut down, isolated, wants to leave the house, you know, basically God is thrilled. Our teenagers aren't perfect. They, you know, we're fathering and mothering them in areas that we see that they could improve to have a better life. And that's how God's looking at us. He's like, come to me, come talk to me. I will share what I'm interested in telling you, and you'll share what, where you're at. And you're a teenager. You don't have to be, you know, fully, you know, mature. I want relationship with you. If you come to God and give him a hug and hang out and talk and expect him to have a conversation, and the I don't even have a good word for it, the emotional response that we can have, that we fall so short from, where, like Mark said, glass half full, let's pursue this, connect with God, let's go to him as a child and be where we're at and interact with him, because his view of us is all love. Herb heard earlier that God just had this blanket he was throwing over us, like, these are mine. And he has this huge contrast between earthly fathering that we know and God's fathering, which is perfect towards us. And I just want to be the biggest cheerleader and say, let's pursue him. I'll start first of sitting with him, running to him, throwing our arms around him. Tell him how much you love him. It touches my husband's heart every time. And it doesn't matter if he's just made the biggest faux pas of the day. If he's running to my husband's thrilled. And God is too. Run to him. In fact, I had a sense that there was a person in the audience that can relate to the teenager who just, his home is a pit stop. He just wants to come in, get the necessary, get out. And there is such a distance in contrast to what I'm trying to describe of a relationship that's thriving with your father, whether that's God the Father or your natural father. I just pray right now for you that God, you would come and intervene, that you, all the barriers, whether it's on the man who relates to the teenage son, or if it's a change in circumstances within the family unit, God, I ask that you would intervene, and that this would change by your interaction and involvement in this life. I ask for a turn, and that he could start by running to you and throw his arms around you, maybe not even say anything to start, but be with you and to feel and really feel emotionally your surrounding him and being for him. God, intervene and turn this thing around in this family and in this man, in Jesus' name.
And I'm just reminded of that scripture that says that that God is a father to the fatherless. And I love that for every problem, again, we said it earlier, that God has a solution. And what is life in the Spirit? simply responding to God and letting Him respond to us. It's really simple. And really believing, like Jesus said, that His sheep hear His voice. That for us is a life in the Spirit. And it surpasses what we see, what we know, what we can hear, the natural realm. Hmm. It's much greater. And again, it's our inheritance in God. And something that we really need to press in for.
And getting our value from God, Him being our source, huge, because that is true intimacy. And all these things that are listed in Galatians 5, go read it for yourself. It happens all through life that, as we know it today, is a counterfeit to the real intimacy of God the Father being our source and us getting our value from Him. In fact, if we're dealing with things like marijuana or pornography or sex out of marriage, that is because we're not spending time with God. We talked about this earlier before we recorded. Every one of us, more time. It doesn't mean on your knees by your bed. It means as you're driving, talk to God. You don't even have to open your mouth. In your spirit, have a conversation with God. And time with Him is true intimacy. It's true value. It's our source where we will thrive in every area of life.
That's good. And I just have something I want to share very quickly. And I just get the burden for somebody by the name of Karen. And please, if anybody is listening to this word and you feel like this word is for you as well, receive it as that and take that to God. Because if it bears witness to you, chances are God is speaking to you as well. But there is something also special for this word for somebody named Karen.
I want to back you up, Mark. Come when on. You say Karen, explain that a little bit more.
I just had the sense of a name that God wanted to bring to my attention.
So this is something that the Holy Spirit surfaced and brought to you.
Yes.
And He's brought to you the name of Karen.
Yep.
So this is specific word of knowledge.
Yes. And I feel like this is not only possibly for a listener, but maybe for a friend or a family member of a listener named Karen.
Okay.
And I just feel like the Lord wants to say He's far more interested in your process than He is in your perfection. Mm-hmm. He's far more interested in where you're going than where you've been. He is far more interested in how much time you give Him today than what you gave Him yesterday. That God has drawn a line for you, and He is allowing you to turn your back on the things of the past and to be focused on where you're going on the future. He already sees who you're becoming. And He says, hey, if you've only got 5 minutes a day today, give me 10. I'm asking for five more. Just taking a step in the direction. He's not asking for you to go and be someone who you're not. He's simply asking you to pay attention to the progress you're making and to progress towards that step of holiness that God wants to bring to each and every one of us. And that holiness is outlined by the fruits of the Spirit, to which Paul said there is no law to the things that are, you know, that are listed as the life in the Spirit. So go to Him. Respond to Him. He's reaching out His hand to you, Karen and others who can hear my voice today. He's reaching out to you because He's interested in your process of who you're becoming and not who you've been.
I love what it says in verse 25. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. And when you think about what Mark has just said and what Bethany and Teresa are sharing, it all has to do with that God's interest is for your best. His interest for you is your best. And if we think, and if we capture that in our emotion and in our hearts, it flies in the face of all of the criticism and also the everything that has to do with the adversary being the accuser of the brethren. In other words, the adversary comes, he finds a weak spot in us and begins to just hammer away at an area that we know that we need help in. And we find that the goodness of God leads men to repentance, men and women, and that as we've been sharing with you today about the importance of keeping in step with the Spirit of God, that is the heart of the Father. And you've just heard Bethany and Mark also and Teresa share a specific word for somebody who's listening. And you just, and again, what we're dealing with is that prophecy is the love language of God. In other words, he brings specific words or insight, specifics to the people of God, and that he's doing a work. And so when he comes in a specific way, he knows our address, our phone number, our the very hairs on our heads. And as we witness him being specific with somebody, it ought to encourage all of us, because he knows what you need. And so therefore, go to him and ask him to begin to open up to you what it is that you need. We're really an advocate of people having a conversation with God, because he's a loving Heavenly Father who has your needs in mind and your best in mind in his heart. Go to him. Take time with him. Watch how he'll come back at you in the place of bringing answers, especially if this is something that you're not practiced in or that is something that is new to you. It's not new to him. He's a master at bringing to you what you need if you would just pop the question and go to the Lord. Teresa shared earlier in the broadcast how she didn't have it in her, but she did turn her heart to the Lord. And now he's the one that knew exactly what she needed, and he began to breathe on her. So it is with us all.
Thanks, Herb. Good advice for us all to follow, that if we want something to happen between us and God, we have to go to him. If we would just include him, ask him, be with him, and focus on him, we can be sure that God is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Amen. Well, that's all the time we have for today. For Herb and Bethany Marks and Teresa Grote, I'm Mark Grote. Be sure to join us next week right here on Sought Out Radio.
The preceding program was made possible by partners of Sought Out Global Radio, calling you into greatness. If you would like to sign up to become partners with Sought Out Global Radio, you can do that at soughtoutglobal.com.